I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
It's a great privilege for me to be here today to share the precious and holy Word of God with you. You have come from, I think, from all over this country, and I think we have a number of ministers here. May God bless each and every one. May we search our hearts before God to make sure that we do believe every word of God and see every promise God made in His Word fulfilled. This is very important. Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. But Isaac was a promised son, and all the blessings came upon the one that was promised. And the promised word of God is for all for all the true sons and daughters of God. Even the promise for this day will only those believe who are ordained to eternal life, whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the earth. So, to just read a few scriptures and say a few words, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. You know verse 6. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Beloved brothers and sisters, in Matthew 17, our Lord, after the ministry of John the Baptist, confirmed this promise. Matthew 17, verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, we read in verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen, which our ear with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Beloved brothers and sisters, we are living in the most important time of all of the history, and especially in the most important time for the New Testament church. We're just very, very near to the promised return of our Lord. In Matthew 24, in Mark 13, in Luke 21, our Lord spoke about the signs that would come and appear before he would return. And three times our Lord made the statement, when you see all these things come to pass, then you know. You don't dream, you don't guess, then you know. Amen. Then you know it's near, even at the door. Look up, for your redemption is drawing near. And when we look into the recent past, what all has happened, especially with Israel, from over 150 countries, they returned to the promised land, and our Lord made a statement, when you see the fig tree coming back to life again, he made the statement, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And I think about what God has done to bring his promised people back into the promised land. So, by the grace of God, we see this scripture and other scriptures fulfilled before our very eyes. And because we are in Britain today, let me tell you, I noted it into my Bible. There was a very special man in 1917. In 1917, making the declaration, Mr. Balfour made a declaration as a British minister in 1917, that Israel has a right to have a homeland, to have a homeland. And brothers and sisters, when we look back in 1948, Israel was declared to be a nation. Having seen all these things come to pass, as our Lord said, and then even to the scripture, Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then the end shall be. And in every service, wherever I go, wherever I share the word of God, I must read what Brother Branham was commissioned Beloved, this is so very, very important. We don't play religion. We're not here to waste your time. We are here to inform you about the promised word for this day. We are here to tell you what God has done in our day and time. I'm just in the process of writing a few special things that have taken place since 1949, when I for the first time heard the name William Branham. There was a man by the name of Hall Herman. He came to Hamburg to be part of the great Pentecostal conference, and he was a very special man before. He was working as a photographer in Hollywood, and in 1945, when the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki took place, he was the one to film the bombing. He was the one to film the bombing. And from that time, when he returned, he just thought, very soon the whole world will be in flames. And then he happened to be in a meeting where Brother Branham was preaching, and he gave his life to the Lord. And from that time, he was sharing his testimony and was also praying for the sick and for those who wished to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So at the Pentecost meetings in 1947, for the first time, I came to know about Brother Branham. Then, of course, in 1953, I read the book, A Man Sent from God, written by Gordon Lindsay, whom I also knew personally. And then in 1955, this man of God came to Germany and Switzerland. And I was in the meetings, always very near to the front, to see what is going on. And brothers and sisters, I saw Bible days with my own eyes.
Amen.
I saw Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Not to go into details, but for every person, Brother Branham prayed in the prayer line. The Lord showed him a vision, and he could tell the person where they came from, the illness they had, and so forth. So I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed, weeping, praising God, but having no knowledge of what it is all about. And then came August the 15th, which was a Monday. I just had to go and see Brother Branham and to shake his hand for the first time. And before we shook hands, he said, "You are a minister of the gospel. Your wife is standing there at the entrance." Beloved, from that time, I was connected to Brother Branham and to his ministry.
Amen.
I knew him for 10 years, ate with him at the same table, drove in the same car. In fact, he was driving and I was sitting next to him. I could tell you a number of things which mean so very, very much to you, to me. But today it's your day, it's your time. But let me make the statement right here. It was Brother Branham to connect the people with the Lord, not to himself, but with the Lord, with the Lord. Many, many are connected to Brother Branham. They use his statements, which are many times taken out of context, but they have no contact with the Lord. They close the Bible and only refer to statements. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we do have two things. According to the Great Commission the Lord gave me, one is to go from city to city to preach the word of God. And the other one was and is to store in the food. And then the time would come when the food would be given out. And so Brother William Branham in 1963 wanted to make a trip to Zurich, Switzerland. Brother Argenbright was to be with him and some other brothers. And the Lord told him, don't make this trip. Return to Jeffersonville and store up the food. Store in the food. So by the grace of God, after the opening of the seven seals in March 63, Brother Branham never made a trip to any nation. The only trip he made was to South Africa, and then there was a stamp in his passport, cannot participate in religious meetings, can only come hunting. So, knowing all these things, beloved, I just have to say this again. This is the most important time before the return of Christ. And let me read the commission our beloved brother received. I've written it into my Bible. It refers to June the 11th, 1933. All, many people up and down the banks of the river, newspaper photographers, and then it said again, look up. And I looked up, and as I looked up, here came that light coming down. People began fainting, falling, and a voice came that shook all around the place there and said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, the message that is given you will be a forerunner of the second coming of Christ. Amen. Not that I would be the forerunner, but the message was to be the forerunner. Why did I put this text into my Bible? Because I believe with all my heart that Brother Branham was ordained of Almighty God. He was that promised prophet of Malachi chapter 4. I will send you Elijah the prophet. What did Elijah do? He called the people together on Mount Carmel. Some were walking after the other gods. Some were following the Asherah priests. Some were following the Baal priests. And the man of God said, "How long will you go this way and that way? If the Lord is God, make your decision and follow him." And what did Elijah do? He restored the altar. He took the 12 stones, not 11 or 10. He took the 12 stones according to the 12 tribes and restored the altar. Put the sacrifice, put the water upon the sacrifice, and then looked up towards heaven, praying, "Lord God, let it be known today that you are the only true God in Israel, and I'm your servant, and that I have done all this according to your word." So when our Lord made the promise, not Malachi, the Lord made the promise. Malachi was only writing the promise because it says here, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." The ministry of Brother Branham was just as important as the ministry of Moses or Paul or John the Baptist. He was a promised prophet to bring all things back into the original position. As the Bible says, to restore all things. Restore means to put back into the original position, just as it was at the beginning, so it must be at the end. If you look, and I'm not judging, but if you look at all the charismatic personalities, and I know the world-renowned evangelists for many years, I know Earl Roberts personally, and all the great T.L. Osborne and Tommy Hicks and Morris Cirulo and all these others, even Benny Hinn. I was together with him in London for some meetings many, many years ago. But to be honest, before God, all they have built their own kingdoms. They were not part of the promised word for this day. And someday they will come and say, "Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done all these great things in your name?" And the Lord will have to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't even know you." So, beloved, it's not enough to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must dwell in us. Only then our mortal bodies will be changed. So, just saying this again, beloved, it is the last message to us in the last church age, and Brother Branham was a promised prophet. And if you can believe it and receive it, say amen.
Amen.
Now I know I'm at home. Actually, I don't need to say very much more. But even coming back to this great experience, when the supernatural light came down, and in April 1966 in Jeffersonville, when Billy Paul was asking if there are some present who were there on June the 11th, 19:33. Who saw what happened? He said, would you please stand? And I counted very quickly, between 10 and 11 stood to their feet, who were present in 1933 when this happened. But now coming to the second part, so that you would understand why I'm here today. Why I'm here today. Also because of a direct divine commission.
Amen.
You might believe this or not. You know, there are always two groups of people. Those who are honest and true, they believe if a man of God makes a statement, that he makes a true statement of a true experience. But those who fiddle around, they think, oh, maybe this man is also doing like I, you know? No, I've no need to do that. But because of that very, very special day in my life, you have heard about it, you read about it, April 2nd, 1962. I never prayed for it. I never knew that this is possible. I only knew that God has used Brother Branham in a very special way. But that Monday morning, I shall never forget. I got ready for the day, went to the window, pulled the curtains left and right, and looked out the window. And the night was over, but the sun was not yet up. And I was happy that the rainy season is over. We in the Rhineland have about the same as you have in Britain. When it rains here, it rains also with us. But then, looking out, there was no cloud in the sky, and I was happy that the rainy season is over. Came back into the room, had a short prayer, committing the day to the Lord, and then standing on my feet again, looking straight towards the window, and from up, but from the right, came the all-penetrating, all-commanding voice of the Lord that goes through all your bones, through your soul, body, and spirit, with these ears. And the Lord said, my servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. Do you know what I did? I held my hands like this. I said, dear Lord, they will not hear me. They've got all things in plenty. They are not ready to listen. I just said these words when the Lord spoke the second time. My servant, the time will come when they will hear you. Store in food, for a great famine is coming. Then thou shalt stand amidst the people to give out the food. Beloved, I'm sure I'm here for the last time. I said this on my last trip to the Congo Republic, where we had the greatest and most blessed meetings. And let me put this in right now. In all the meetings in Goma, Kinshasa, and the other places, we had a total attendance between 70 and 80,000. In one place, we had 12,000, in the next 18,000, in the next 4,000, in the next 12,000, in the next 9,000, in the next 14,000. And after the services, after the preaching, after the first meeting, 84 were baptized. After the second meeting, 487 were baptized. After the third meeting, 38 were baptized. After the next meeting, 241 were baptized. And after the next meeting, 66 were baptized. A total of 864 were baptized in 1 week of services. But coming back to what I have to say, because the Lord mentioned natural food, natural vegetables, like flour and potatoes. He mentioned this. So I thought there will be a natural tragedy. In 1961, Cuba crisis, Berlin crisis, American tanks here, Russian tanks here. And Kennedy said, I will make an example out of Berlin. So we were in fear of what is going to take place next. And we had stored in all the natural food. But no famine came. You know what happened? I said, dear Lord, you said a famine would come. You said store in food. I've done it. But the famine has not come. Take my life. I will not preach anymore. I cannot live anymore. And then I took a flight to see Brother Branham. What a day. December the 3rd, also a Monday, 1962. When Brother Branham, we were sitting at the table, and he was sitting opposite me, and Brother Sotman and Brother Woods were sitting to my right. And believe it or not, he repeated word for word in the English language the Lord had spoken to me in the German language. And he said, Brother Frank, you misunderstood. You thought there will be a natural famine and you stored in natural food. God will send a famine to hear his words. Amen. And the food you to put in store is the promised word for this day. Amen. And let me say this before God Almighty. Brother Branham even mentioned and said, it is stored up and it's on the tapes which are being recorded. Amen. So William Branham was the man sent from God. Amen. To bring us back to the Word of God, to store in the spiritual food, the promised word, the revelation from Genesis to the last chapter of the Bible. And now we are sharing the same revelation that Brother Branham received. And there's not one point that I have to put a question mark. Not one point. And since December 1958, I'm translating Brother Branham's sermons into the German language. I know every sermon in and out. There's absolutely no problem with any of the statements he made. If you leave the things where they actually are and should be, and don't take out of context from here, from here, from here, from here, no, then you have all things in harmony. Now, coming to the very point that we need to emphasize here today. The messenger was taken to be with the Lord. But as he was told, not you, but the message given to you will be the forerunner of the second coming of Christ. This might also, you can judge it and you can even, well, misjudge it. But I live in Germany. And December the 24th is my birthday. So on December the 24th, 1965, I saw William Branham in a vision being taken up on a cloud. And in that vision, I said, Brother Branham, you are not the Son of Man. Why do I see you going up in the cloud? He was in a suit, leaning over. Here was the cloud, and he was just on that cloud taken up, not knowing that it was precisely the moment he was taken to glory. And beloved, not because I say this, but all the things were foreordained by Almighty God. Amen. That I would not only know this man in the natural, but also in the Holy Spirit, to be in contact with the same Holy Spirit that was upon him, the same anointing, the same revelations that he received by the grace of God. I can understand all that he said. And now comes the very special day at the funeral time in April 1966. You cannot imagine what it meant to me. Because I came from Germany, I wanted to see the man in the coffin. And I went to the funeral place, to Mr. Kutz, and said, Dear sir, I've come from Germany. I'd like to see William Branham in the coffin. And he said, because you have made such a long trip, I will make an exception. And we went up the wooden stairs. There was only one room. Upstairs was only one roof. And the roof was tilted like this. Only one roof, one room, and the roof was tilted like this. And I saw Brother Branham in the coffin. You cannot imagine what that meant for me. I was torn. I was so torn. I said, Dear Lord, how can the bride be prepared without this ministry? I was weeping. I was torn. I said, Dear Lord, how will things be from now on? And then, of course, the funeral was on the 11th. And for me, a whole world had collapsed. But on the evening of the same day, when I returned to my hotel room, I sat down. And the peace of God that passes all understanding entered and filled my heart and my soul. And this time, not an audible voice, but it spoke in my heart. Amen. Now, your time has come to go from city to city and to share the word of God, the message of the hour, and this I've done ever since. For 15 years, I was earning my money because I spoke English. I was working with the British in NATO. And when I returned from the funeral, the first thing I did, I gave my notice and said, my time to work here is finished. I must work for the Lord.
Amen.
So from April 1966, I trusted the Lord, and from that time, I went from city to city, from continent to continent. Already in the first 14 years, right up to 1979, I had visited 85 countries, Russia and all included. And then now I look back and I think we counted right, 155 countries, my feet have stepped on that soil to share the word of God for this day and to let the people know that the return of Christ promised is very, very near. These are not the last minutes. These are the last seconds before the return of Christ.
Amen.
And as you all know, it will be 50 years on December the 24th since the Lord took Brother Branham home. And let me say this also in love. Many expect Brother Branham to rise from the dead. If you would know of all the things which are going on, no, there's no promise for that in the Word of God. And if there is no promise, there can be no fulfillment. First, God makes promises, and then He watches over His Word to fulfill what He promised. So, by the grace of God, the message the Lord gave to Brother Branham, the full restoration of personal experiences. And it's not only a message, it's connected to reality.
Amen.
And everything God does is always connected to reality.
Amen.
At the first coming of Christ, over 100 promises from the Old Testament were fulfilled. Every promise in reference to the first coming of Christ. And in Luke 24, our Lord began with Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, making this statement, all has been fulfilled. And then He opened their understanding to know the scripture in their fulfillment, to know how the promise was a reality in the fulfillment of that promise. So we understand John the Baptist was a promised prophet. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight the way for our God. When the time was fulfilled, the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias, talking to him in the temple, standing at the right hand of the altar, and saying, your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you shall call his name John, for he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Also the promise of Malachi 3, the first part, only the first part of Malachi 3 was fulfilled. Behold, I send my messenger before my face to prepare my way before me. The second part, and the angel of the covenant will come to his holy temple, was not fulfilled at that time. And that's why it was not repeated in the New Testament. Only the first part, which was fulfilled, is repeated and written in the New Testament, in the record. Oh, beloved, how precious is the Word of God. How wonderful is the plan of salvation. There is no contradiction in the Word of God. So we understand the most important thing in our lives is to know the Lord personally.
Amen.
To have our own personal experience with the Lord. To know of a day in our life when we came to the Lord and repented of our sins and shed also a few tears. Repentance brings tears with it. You feel sorry for the things you have done and you repent and commit your life to the Lord and receive Christ as your personal Savior. Then the next thing, the blood was shed for us. And beloved, according to Leviticus 17, the life is in the blood.
Amen.
So when Christ, our Lord, shed his blood, he gave that eternal life to us.
Amen.
All who are purchased by the blood of the Lamb receive the same life, the same eternal life that was in Christ, and whosoever has the Son of God has eternal life.
Amen.
1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. So, beloved, not only message, do you know the Lord? Do you know him by these divine experiences? Has the seed of the Word of God been planted into your soul? The seed is the Word of God. And you need to go to James chapter 1, verse 18. Born again by the seed of the Word of God. You need to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Born by the seed of the Word of God. The life is in the seed. And then if the seed dies, the life, the germ of life that is in the seed comes forth. So it is with us. If we die to ourselves with Christ, then the seed of the Word of God, which is planted into your soul, will come up and you will be born again by the Word and Spirit of God. And this was a question just recently about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, in the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, you hear and you read, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
So we made the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need that our tongues are being touched by the holy fire.
Amen.
On the day of Pentecost, it was not only the anointing, there were cloven tongues as of fire. This tongue needs it most. The tongue needs it most. Because as James was writing, the tongue is something very evil unless the Lord takes our tongue and our heart into his service.
Amen.
So we understand by the grace of God the same experiences our brothers had without any fanatical appearances, just trusting, believing the Lord, and having our personal experiences, and also the emphasis about the sealing by the Holy Spirit. Beloved, especially in recent months, I had to emphasize it everywhere. When the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, after you heard the word of truth, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Beloved, let me say this before God Almighty. God will never seal an error. God will never seal confusion. God will seal His Word revealed by the Holy Spirit in those who have been purchased by the blood and received the same eternal life as sons and daughters of God. And this is so very important. Like we all know, Matthew 25 is being fulfilled in our day. What is the message of the hour? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Amen. First, we must come out to go in. First, we must come out of all confusion, of all religious things. We must come out of everything to enter into the promised land. Amen. So, beloved brothers and sisters, according to the plan of salvation, the true believers recognize the ministry God has given in our time. And we're so grateful for the prophet He sent. I would not know what I know today except of the prophet. And there's no message without a messenger. First, there must be a messenger, a man sent from God with the promised word of God to the promised children of God to receive the divine information, to line up with the word of God and with the will of God to prepare for the return of the bridegroom. And then, beloved, some were foolish and some were wise. I'm just about to write about it. Who is foolish and who is wise? We can already check ourselves by the Holy Word of God. By the Holy Word of God. And let me make this statement. Those who are foolish, they remain with the moment Brother Branham was taken to glory. And they say he must return to finish his work and ministry. But the wise have recognized what God has done since the prophet was taken to glory. And a part in what God is doing right now all over the world. And as you know, I have to say the truth. I have to say the truth. You know what the brothers have done? They've done a criminal thing which can never be repaired. Instead of leaving what Brother Branham was told and what he 18 times, Brother Branham repeated the words he was spoken to in June 1933. Mike, as we read the final statement You will be like John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. The message, not you, the message that is given you will be a forerunner of the second coming of Christ. You know what our brothers have done in the USA? Here is a small text they publish in every publication. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of the Lord, so are you sent to forerun the second coming. Nothing about message. Nothing like it was said from the lips of Almighty God, just giving their own interpretation, their own explanation. Cursed be the man who believes the wrong things. Blessed are those who believe the original words coming from the supernatural light.
Amen.
And this is going to show who is who. The wise will believe every word the Lord said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. Your sins were the message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. And here in the falsified text, it only says, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of the Lord, so are you sent to forerun his second coming. If you change one word, you change the whole matter, What did Brother Branham say about 50 times about Eve in the Garden of Eden? It was one word that was added to what the Lord God had said in chapter 2. It was added in chapter 3. And the question mark was put behind what God had said. And then, as Brother Branham also made the statement many times, unbelief is the original sin. Unbelief is the original sin. Before you can believe the lie, you must reject the truth. And therefore, we just have to say it, that all who believe that Brother Branham was a forerunner, and with him everything is finished, they of course have to reject Brother Frank and all the other brothers in all the countries who claim to share the word of God. They say everything is finished with Brother Branham, and that's where they make period, and that's it. No, right the moment God took his servant to glory, that was the time when the message was taken to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Brother Branham, in his lifetime, only made 7 international trips. And he only preached in 12 different countries on earth. He made a visit in London, but did not preach. He made a visit in Paris, but did not preach. He made a visit in Cairo, but did not preach. He made a visit in Rome, but did not preach there. But you can follow all the countries and cities he visited and preached the word of God. But after he went to be with the Lord, all the nations heard the word of God.
Amen.
And if I think about 2 things at the moment, our brother Michael is here today. It was so heavy upon my heart that all the Muslim countries and the believers in these countries would also hear the word of God. And look how God has opened the door. Last Saturday, today a week ago, at 4 p.m., for the first time from Lahore, Pakistan, all the nations around can hear the message of the hour. I've been to all the other countries, but these countries were so heavy upon my heart and say, God has his servants, God has his men in all the different languages to share the same word of God. Let me say this in summarizing. My tears, I just cannot keep away. Jomai, truth is truth.
Amen.
And you shall know the truth, and only the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
So we believe with all our heart the 18 statements Brother Branham made, that the message given to him will be the forerunner of the second coming of Christ.
Amen.
So after the messenger was taken to glory, the message is being taken to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
And now if I think about the fact that from the 192 nations on earth who have diplomatic relation with each other, we are now serving directly believers in 172 countries. Can you understand how faithful God is, providing all the technical means by internet, fully possible and can know and hear in all the earth? When I preached in Congo Republic, there was even one man from Iran who heard, and many from many nations were listening. I don't know how many are listening today, but I have to tell you the truth. In the meantime, I'm an old man, but I look back to the past 50 years, sharing the word of God, traveling day and night, just from country to country, from city to city, to do what the Lord directly commissioned me to do. And Brother Branham, even making this statement at the end of that conversation on Monday the 3rd, 62, Brother Frank, wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the food. Wait until you get the rest of the food. And the food was put in store on all the tapes, all the sermons were being typed. But beloved, when the man of God was taken to glory, that commission has been fulfilled and done up till this time. And that's why we honestly can say these are the last moments before the return of Christ. Never go for a compromise. Never interpret anything. Leave all the things where they are. And remember Matthew 25, verse 10. They that were ready went in to the marriage, and the door was closed.
Amen.
And the door was closed. Beloved, this is preparation time. This is restoration time. This is time to get ready for the return of Christ. The bride is now being united with the bridegroom. And only those who are part of the bride will hear the voice of the bridegroom. All the others will continue in their own ways. There are always two groups. To some, our Lord had to say, they have ears and don't hear. They have eyes and don't see. But to his own, he could say, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear.
Amen.
So, beloved, if the Lord has opened your heart, your understanding, and the word of God is placed into your heart, and you receive the divine revelation, that is reality.
Amen.
And by the grace of Almighty God, the Lord is now completing his work with the elect. And only the elect will hear the voice of the bridegroom.
Amen.
There are many things which we could say, but we understand there are brothers in your country and everywhere being used of Almighty God, and the food that was put in store is being shared with many and many. And again, we can say, this is God's special time for God's special people.
Amen.
To understand, to recognize the time, the message, the messenger, and to place the things into the divine order. There's no confusion in the kingdom of God. Confusion is in all the kingdoms outside the word of God. But in the kingdom of God, everything is perfect. No confusion. And by the Holy Spirit, we're led into all the truth in a balanced way by the grace of Almighty God. And to finish with Revelation 19:7, and his bride, his wife, has made herself ready. First, up to the marriage, she is the bride. And after the marriage, she is the wife.
Amen.
Oh, how precious. I say this again. How precious is the word of God.
Amen.
How wonderful does the Holy Spirit lead into every word. How wonderful the harmony of Old and New Testament. How wonderful the harmony with message and the word of God. By the grace of the Almighty, we could share many things. But you are up to date in the kingdom of God. You believe and you're making ready to meet the Lord when he comes.
Amen.
Let me finally ask, how many believe that William Branham was the promised prophet for this day?
Amen.
God bless you. How many believe that the message given to him is now reaching the ends of the earth?
Amen.
Sure, it's visible. It doesn't need any explanation or any interpretation. It is happening before our very eyes. Blessed be our Lord and Savior for the coming and preparation for his coming, and they that will be ready will meet the Lord. I say this finally. When I started the full-time ministry in 1966, I said this a number of times. I spoke to the Lord. I had no knowledge of what will be in the future. I never knew. But God knew. But I said, dear Lord, please keep me with a sound mind in your precious and holy word. Take care of me and take care of the work that I have to do. But I have a special request. I said, dear Lord, let me have the favor that all who will hear your word from my lips and believe you, that I will see them again in glory.
Amen.
You don't believe mine. You believe the word of God. And I said this before, maybe also in Birmingham, when the Lord showed me the rapture in January 1981, when I was dying with malaria tropica, there was no help given up by not only one doctor, by the whole doctor team. The only words I heard was, it's too late, it's too late. And then I was taken from the room and pushed into a room where people die. One curtain here and one curtain here. And I knew I was going. I could not speak anymore, but I could open my eyes a little to see the curtains. I could hear the man next to me, to my right. He was fighting his last battle before he died. It was terrible to even hear that. But I wanted to say these words. Dear Lord, I come to you now, but how do I stand in your presence? And the next moment, I was taken out of this body under the blue sky. And when I looked to my right, I saw a white-dressed multitude which no man can number. As far as you could see in that dimension, all were young. Sisters were sisters, brothers were brothers. All were young, not over 20, maybe 18, 17, 18. And I knew all who believe the message God has sent, we will be raptured together, we'll be changed together. We shall be taken up together.
Amen.
To meet the Lord in the air. And then something happened. I think it was after coming from the atmosphere in the stratosphere. But I just did like this. And when I looked up, I saw the New Jerusalem coming down. And I saw how the bride is just about to enter the New Jerusalem. My beloved brothers and sisters, believe the Lord. Believe his promised word. It will pay off at the end. Only those who believe according to the word of God, they will be ready to meet the Lord. And together we shall be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You talk about grace. You talk about love. What a grace. What a love. In the total confusion the world is now, God has his people, his children, have come out from all confusion. And in the message of the hour, there's no confusion, no interpretation. Every confusion is outside the message. And who are in the message, they are not confused. They believe every word of God. and this year fulfilled. Beloved, we say Maranatha. The Lord is coming soon. May his blessings rest upon us. Amen. Let us stand for a word of prayer. And we bow our heads in the presence of the Lord, knowing this is the day the Lord has made for us. If there are some here who have a problem with themselves, with the circumstances, or even with others, beloved, take advantage of this opportunity. We are in the presence of the Lord. He promised to be with us to the ends of the earth, and he promised to be with us whenever we are gathered in his name. Today, you can have full salvation, full deliverance, a complete revelation by the Holy Spirit. The blood is still on the mercy seat. We're still in the time of grace. Please, if there are some here today who maybe heard these things for the first time or never could place them scripturally right, beloved, this is your day, your moment to make your decision and say, Lord, you brought me so far, I come to you. Please, please, give me full salvation, full deliverance, full forgiveness of all our sins, full justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you are present and you know all our requests. So we come to you believing that the blood of the Lamb is still on the mercy seat, believing that you're still saving, justifying, and filling with your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, I commit this whole congregation to you, and I pray that I will see everyone again at the moment of your return, because we believe your promise. You said, I go to prepare the place, then I will return and take you to be where I am. Amen. Dear Lord, you have sent your prophet. You have sent your messenger. We have the message you gave unto us. Dear Lord, it is the last call. It's preparation time, separation time, restoration time. Lord, I pray that we all shall believe together and receive together and be prepared for that great day when the trumpet of God shall sound and the Lord himself shall descend, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who live in Christ shall be changed. Amen. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Dear Lord, I claim every soul for the kingdom of God. Amen. You gave us your word. Amen. You gave us the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you gave us faith to believe every promise and to have part in what you are presently doing. Bless in all nations, in every country, in every language. Amen. bless your people and complete your work, and we expect your return to be soon. Holy be your name, my God in heaven. I feel your presence. You are in this place. You are in this place. You have given divine understanding, divine revelation, and you made this day to be our day. Your day became our day, and together we'll give you praise, honor, and glory in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. May the brothers just come on. God bless you all. God bless you all. Yes, amen.